And that was Radiohead with Everything in Its Right Place from the soundtrack of Vanilla Sky. So, Sean, we're going to talk to you a bit more about, I suppose, your more recent work.
Yeah.
The most recent work, I think, that was on your website was Tearing Strips.
Yeah, that was correct? One of them, yeah.
And, yeah, can you tell us a bit about that?
Tearing Strips was, at the start of the year, I was basically kind of given the idea for, I was asked to do a music video for a band called Exit Pursued by a Bear, who are just a great band, and I was in college with two members of the band, and the lead singer I was kind of came to with the idea for this music video about a guy at a house party who basically really needs to, you know, take a piss, like, but can't go anywhere, and so we just kind of basically said, look, we kind of flew through like writing it and putting together like a very, very kind of basic storyboards. We organized a kind of rudimentary house party, went away and shot it, and this was still with my old camera, like, and it turned out pretty well. That was called Pish, and we did another video after that called A Mayday, and which turned out well as well, I thought. And
actually, I really like that one because it's in black and white for most of it, and then you've got that red stream for the blood.
That's right, yeah.
How did you get... there's an effect in it where it looks like raindrops or something. It looks like blood. Is it supposed to be blood pumping or what? How did you achieve that effect? Because I really want to know.
I basically did... I've been doing working After Effects, Adobe After Effects for a while now. And you can get all these cool little particle effects in it, where you can actually create like particle systems in 3D and then rotate the camera around them, you know. So I basically rendered... I just did maybe about 10 minutes worth of... rotating a camera around a moving particle system. They were colored red. They were trying to look like blood cells, rendered out just loads and loads of stuff for that, and then took the best clips of that would kind of fit in with the sections of the video. But it was planned, like, we're going to have it, okay, it's inside the kid's head at the start, and then as it kind of progresses, he kind of turns into like Matilda from, you know, the Roald Dahl book. He can actually control what's in his head, like, and he can send it out into the outside world, and it kind of ends up like that, like, and it does a little bit of a kind of horror in it as well, like, you know, a small bit, I think. Basically Ty, who's the lead singer with Exit Pursued by a Bear, he's a writer as well, and he worked with Satitude, the RT teacher, for a long time. And Alice O'Sullivan is the she'd be the producer of our work, and Ty just had this, he just came to me with a bunch of scripts, and he said, look, would we just try one of these? And Tearing Strips was one of them, and we're just like, yeah, this could be, you know, we could shoot this in a day. We need to get the actors and actresses. Went out and got Kate McSwiney at work and Caroline Murphy, who you were saying
I was in acting class with Caroline, all right?
Yeah. Caroline, who works with Red FM, your rivals.
She's not on now, she's on at 7 in the morning, is it?
She does I was just saying earlier, she does the entertainment slot, like...
doesn't need.
Yeah.
And Kate McSwiney O'Rourke, we've seen her in the Festival of Nothingness, which came out last year. I don't know if you've seen that at all.
I haven't seen it, but I did her like a showreel for her.
Yeah.
So I saw the clips of that. Like.
It's an interesting little one.
The story behind Tearing Strips is quite interesting. It's almost like a subversion of this guy who's homeless, basically, and these two girls come across him after a day out shopping, isn't it?
Yeah.
And basically he says to them, instead of going, could I have a bit of change? It's like, could I have 55 euros for a room and juries, please?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I really liked that. As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, will this go down this kind of typical road? But I liked the way you gave his character a bit more... there's a bit more to him, I suppose.
Yeah, he's ambiguous, isn't he? He's quite enigmatic, even. You don't know whether... I mean, he kind of looks like your bum, but he doesn't really, does he?
He looks like my bum.
Your bum? Sorry.
I can't wait to talk about this.
Well, it's getting very personal to say here. You might want to put the blind down in front of you there in the main studio. But basically, yes, he looks like your regular bum. I don't know if that makes it any better.
I've got... two bums. I don't know. Go on, just continue.
Yes, well, you're on screen bum even, and but then there's a sparkle in his eye. There's a little twinkle, and you don't really know if he's really if he's really a proper beggar, I'll even say
yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And kind of leads us into the kind of, you kind of believe in his character a bit more, I suppose. I don't know, I'm kind of getting on the wrong track here now, but God, I'm so far down, I might as well stop.
No,
you're right.
Cheers, Colin.
I think that's kind of like the, you know, it's really important to have like something at the start of the film that's like immediately like grabs you and like kind of draws you in.
It's like a short, essentially. Like
yeah. So you know, even that first thing where it's like, what was I watching recently? Oh yeah, right. I read the Stephen King book, right, and there was a story in it called the Sun Dog, right, and at the start of the story, this is the opening three or four pages. This kid gets a Polaroid camera for his birthday, right, and he takes, and the first Polaroid he takes of his family, and it comes out as a dog sitting in front of a fence, right. So he takes another photograph, and it's another photograph of the dog sitting in front of the fence. So whatever he takes the photograph of, doesn't matter where it is, dog sitting in front of the fence. After he's taken about 20 of these photos, he sees that the dog is moving ever so slightly, right? So it's a little animation. He's actually producing an animation with the camera, right? Now the story is about like 250, 300 pages long, because there's like four novellas in the book, right? After the first 10 pages of that, right, I had to know what was going on with the camera. Like, you know, there was no way I was not going to finish this book. Like, I didn't care how it turned out, but I absolutely had to know, like, you know. And I think Stephen King's just amazing at doing that, like, but to try and do that in a film sense, like, you know, if you see something, okay, it's on YouTube, it's like whatever, you know, five minutes long, and in the first 30 seconds the guy says, can I have €55 for a room in Juries, and you kind of go, right,
okay, I'm hooked straight away. Yeah, exactly.
I mean give me the rest of this, like, let's see what this is about, like, you know. I think that's certainly for dialogue driven short films, like, you know, that's really important to do, for me anyway. Like, I mean, yeah. And I know for, you know, for a lot of people, it's you can kind of go off all sorts of tangents, like, that's great. Like,
what I liked, actually, sorry to interrupt, but no, what I really liked was at the start that he's behind this big massive kind of box structure,
yeah,
and you don't know where it's going to go. You think, is this going to be a talking box for 5 minutes?
Yeah.
And then he comes out of it. But I like that it kind of starts off being a bit surreal and then turns into kind of a real thing, but then it still has that air of surrealism throughout the whole way.
Yeah
so that adds a lot to it, I think.
I showed it to somebody, I showed it to my sister, and she's someone whose opinion I was my others most, I kind of trust her opinion a lot, you know. I trust the opinion of my younger sister as well, in case she's listening. And she said, she called this a treatise on the nature of charity. And I started applauding or something. I was just like, thank you so much. That's a wonderful thing to say, like, you know. Because it's just a comedy thing, like, it's just a comedy film, like, but it, in some way, like, it kind of, it does, like, explore that a little bit, like, you know, without trying to kind of glorify too much, like, but it's like, there is something about, like, you know, if you're going to give someone a euro, but you've got €55 in your pocket, why not give him the €55, you know? Give him a room in Juries for the night, like, you know, if, you know, you're gonna sleep in a nice warm bed anyway, like, you know. All he wants is one night in a hotel, and well, as it turns out in the end, he wants a little bit more than that, like, you know, but you know, and what are the dynamics between the beggar and the beggy, you know? Beggy? Is that a word? It is now.
And one you've done recently as well, actually, is it's kind of more, I suppose, it was a music video, Scotty's Grave?
Scotia's Grave.
Scotia's Grave.
Yeah, it wasn't, it's not really a music video, it's just basically I got a new lens for my camera, and I got this kind of a dolly track system called the Glide Track, which is just wonderful. It's just a wonderful thing, because you get these lovely kind of gliding cinematic effects. And over Christmas, New Year's, I went up to this the side of the mountain, which is just outside of Tralee. I'm from Castle Island in Kerry, which is just very near to Tralee.
Our second Kerry filmmaker, along with Dan Horan.
There's another one.
There's another one.
What?
Yes. Yes, and he plays his trade in Cork as well, but around the area.
What's his address?
Oh, can't get that out now.
This episode's all about destroying our rivals.
I know, isn't it?
Yeah. You get Carly Murphy, I guess. this other Kerry filmmaker. I don't know.
Vincent Brown plugging himself on The Late Late. Jeez.
But I mean, Scotia's Grave, you shot that with the Canon, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
And that is more like a normal digital SLR camera.
Yeah.
With a kind of, I suppose, a digital video kind of feature, isn't it?
Yeah. It shoots full HD. It shoots in 720 and 1080. I shoot all the stuff in 720 just for ease of use, really. But it also shoots everything at... you can shoot at different frame rates, but if you shoot stuff like 50 frames per second and you play it back at 25, you can actually get like a full slow motion effect, and it's just gorgeous, like, you know. And then you can bring it into Premiere and you can apply all sorts of effects and stuff to it, like, and make it look really, really, really gorgeous, like, you know. It's actually incredible. I mean, the fact that, like, it's available for less than €1,000 for that camera, like, for, I mean,
it's near cinematic quality.
It really is.
That's the one thing that struck me when I was looking at your shorts, because, okay, a lot of people have their, a lot of filmmakers have their little websites, and especially in the zero budget kind of sphere, a lot of things do look like they were made for nothing, whereas this one looks like it had money thrown at it, which it probably didn't, I'm guessing, apart from the cost of the camera.
No.
But and like this one, especially Scotia's Grave, and the other one, the video for the Avatar video, The Heart of Wisdom.
Yeah.
two of
Avatar
these,
the band.
Avatar the band, yeah. You should say, yeah. And
yeah. They changed the name from Titanic.
Oh,
they?
See, I'm gullible enough to believe that. But
and if things go really bad, they're going to call themselves The Abyss or something,
yeah,
are they?
I can't wait for the new album. What's that going to be called? Terminator 2. But yeah, it's very forced. but like the thing that I was on about earlier on, saying that your films are very like Peter Greenaway's films. Well, if you look at Peter Greenaway's The Water Rackets, which is his, apparently he kind of made allusions to The Lord of the Rings, but visually the two films your two shorts and his film are very similar.
Okay.
And I think if you track down the Peter Greenaway thing and compare your own thing, yours actually works better, because A, you're not filming on a small little crappy Super 8 camera.
Okay.
And B, yours isn't kind of hindered by horrible narrative with a kind of a makey uppy kind of story a la in the mode of The Lord of the Rings.
Mm.
And I was just wondering, you know, what do you think of that?
Again, thrilled.
Thrilled is it?
Yeah. Jesus, I don't think my ego's going to fit out the door of this place.
It's a very small door, but you're probably trying to increase it later on. We get very critical of something else.
We'll put you in the main booth for the rest of the show, yeah, or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Can you actually, like, destroy me for the next half hour of the show?
No,
like,
got 25 minutes to destroy me now.
The rest of your work is absolute rubbish.
Yeah.
The Avatar thing was great. Like, that was shot on the old camera as well. That was the thing.
The Sony.
Yeah, there is a slight difference in quality between the two of them, or maybe a major difference if you're a major expert. But
there is. I think I had to do a lot more with the Avatar video in editing and in post production, just to make it look as interesting as you can do much more immediately with the Canon.
Right.
Just because of levels of, you know. It doesn't handle darkness as well, like, you know, and kind of there'd be a lot of pixelation in it, like, so you'd have to kind of bring up the contrast, like, to, you know, to huge levels, like, to just to make the blacks utterly black, like, you know. And also I had this lot of time effects in it, like, where I just, like, filmed clouds over 5 or 6 minutes and then just, like, played that shot back over, like, you know, 10 seconds to make it look like the clouds were flying a little bit. That was shown at the Kerry Film Festival during the year. Which was great. So
I think there's one shot in it where you've got like crows circling overhead or something like that.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
And it almost looks like ash falling out of the sky. It's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. That was shot in Crosshaven, actually.
Go away.
I know.
They're
probably
not even crows now. With
seagulls.
They're
not crows. They're actually, it's actually a bunch of cats taped together.
What?
It's a bunch of cats taped together.
I got a bit of tea.
If it's too bad we didn't video the show, because Jared's face was like, what? Cats
tied together, wow. And how did they get over that one? Cruelty, oh my god.
Crows don't actually look like crows on camera.
They're like rain,
they're
is it?
Like, they look like ash.
And on that note,
yeah, okay, yeah. So we're gonna.
Do you
gonna
have any ash there, by the way?
It's better if you didn't put ash on the bloody playlist. Why no ash?
Because it's Ash Wednesday, not Ash Friday. Come on.
These guys.
Anyway,
what's coming up next, music-wise?
We're going to play a bit from Tron, which is a film you and me liked and everyone else hated. But,
I think we liked it for the visuals and for the soundtrack more than anything else. I mean, we both kind of agreed that we'd poo-poo all over the story, really.
Yeah. The script wasn't great.
It wasn't great.
The ideas were good, I think.
It was grand.
Yeah.
And it had Jeff Bridges. So anyway, we go with that.
A bit of Daft Punk.
Daft Punk all the way.